"Right," said Ron, as they both opened their books at pages 5 and 6. "What can you see in mine?"
"A load of soggy brown stuff," said Harry.
The heavily perfumed smoke in the room was making him feel sleepy and stupid.
"Broaden your minds, my dears, and allow your eyes to see past the mundane," Professor Trelawney cried through the gloom.
Harry tried to pull himself together.
"Right, you've got a wonky sort of cross," he said, consulting Unfogging the Future. "That means you're going to have trials and suffering. Sorry about that. But there's a thing that could be the sun. Hang on, that means great happiness. So you're going to suffer, but be very happy."
"You need your inner eye testing, if you ask me," said Ron, and they both had to stifle their laughs as Professor Trelawney gazed in their direction.
"My turn."
Ron peered into Harry's teacup, his forehead wrinkled with effort.
"There's a blob a bit like a bowler hat," he said. "Maybe you're going to work for the Ministry of Magic."
He turned the teacup the other way up.
"But this way it looks more like an acorn."
"What's that?" He scanned his copy of Unfogging the Future.
"A windfall, unexpected gold. Excellent, you can lend me some. And there's a thing here," he turned the cup again, "that looks like an animal. Yeah, if that was its head, it looks like a hippo. No, a sheep."
Professor Trelawney whirled around as Harry let out a snort of laughter.
"Let me see that, my dear," she said reprovingly to Ron,
sweeping over and snatching Harry's cup from him. Everyone went quiet to watch. Professor Trelawney was staring into the teacup, rotating it anti-clockwise.
"The falcon. My dear, you have a deadly enemy."
"But everyone knows that," said Hermione in a loud whisper. Professor Trelawney stared at her.
"Well, they do," said Hermione. "Everybody knows about Harry and you-know-who."
Harry and Ron stared at her with a mixture of amazement and admiration. They had never heard Hermione speak to a teacher like that before. Professor Trelawney chose not to reply. She lowered her huge eyes to Harry's cup again and continued to turn it.
"The club! An attack! Dear, dear, this is not a happy cup."
"I thought that was a bowler hat," said Ron sheepishly.
"The skull! Danger in your path, my dear."
Everyone was staring transfixed at Professor Trelawney, who gave the cup a final turn, gasped, and then screamed. There was another tinkle of breaking china. Neville had smashed his second cup. Professor Trelawney sank into a vacant armchair, her glittering hand at her heart, and her eyes closed.
"My dear boy! My poor dear boy! No, it is kinder not to say. No, don't ask me."
"What is it, Professor?" said Dean Thomas at once.
Everyone had got to their feet, and slowly they crowded around Harry and Ron's table, pressing close to Professor Trelawney's chair to get a good look at Harry's cup.
"My dear,"
Professor Trelawney's huge eyes opened dramatically, "you have the Grimm."
"The what?" said Harry.
He could tell that he wasn't the only one who didn't understand. Dean Thomas shrugged at him, and Lavender Brown looked puzzled, but nearly everybody else clapped their hands to their mouths in horror.
"The Grimm, my dear, the Grimm!"
cried Professor Trelawney, who looked shocked that Harry hadn't understood.
"The giant spectral dog that haunts churchyards. My dear boy, it is an omen, the worst omen of death."
Harry's stomach lurched. That dog on the cover of Death Omens in Flourish and Blots. The dog in the shadows of Magnolia Crescent. Lavender Brown clapped her hands to her mouth, too. Everyone was looking at Harry. Everyone except Hermione, who had got up and moved around to the back of Professor Trelawney's chair.
"I don't think it looks like a Grimm," she said flatly.
Professor Trelawney surveyed Hermione with mounting dislike.
"You'll forgive me for saying so, my dear, but I perceive very little aura around you, very little receptivity to the resonances of the future."
Seamus Finnegan was tilting his head from side to side.
"It looks like a grim if you do this," he said, with his eyes almost shut. "But it looks more like a donkey from here," he said, leaning to the left.
"When you've all finished deciding whether I'm going to die or not," said Harry, taking even himself by surprise. Now nobody seemed to want to look at him.
"I think we will leave the lesson here for today," said Professor Trelawney in her mistiest voice. "Yes, please pack away your things."
Silently the class took their teacups back to Professor Trelawney, packed away their books, and closed their bags. Even Ron was avoiding Harry's eyes.
"Until we meet again," said Professor Trelawney faintly, "fair fortune be yours. Oh, and dear," she pointed at Neville, "you'll be late next time, so mind you work extra hard to catch up."
Harry, Ron, and Hermione descended Professor Trelawney's ladder and the winding staircase in silence, then set off for Professor McGonagall's transfiguration lesson. It took them so long to find her classroom that, early as they had left divination, they were only just in time. Harry chose a seat right at the back of the room, feeling as though he was sitting in a very bright spotlight. The rest of the class kept shooting furtive glances at him, as though he was about to drop dead at any moment. He hardly heard what Professor McGonagall was telling them about animagi, wizards who could transform at will into animals, and wasn't even watching when she transformed herself in front of their eyes into a tabby cat with spectacle markings around her eyes.
"Really, what has got into you all today?"
said Professor McGonagall, turning back into herself with a faint pop, and staring around at them all.
"Not that it matters, but that's the first time my transformation's not got applause from a class."
Everyone's heads turned towards Harry again, but nobody spoke. Then Hermione raised her hand.
"Please, Professor, we've just had our first divination class, and we were reading the tea leaves, and—"
"Ah, of course," said Professor McGonagall, suddenly frowning.
"There is no need to say any more, Miss Granger. Tell me, which of you will be dying this year?"
Everyone stared at her.
"Me," said Harry, finally.
"I see,"
said Professor McGonagall, fixing Harry with her beady eyes.
"Then you should know, Potter, that Sybil Trelawney has predicted the death of one student a year since she arrived at this school. None of them has died yet. Seeing death omens is her favourite way of greeting a new class. If it were not for the fact that I never speak ill of my colleagues—"
Professor McGonagall broke off, and they saw that her nostrils had gone white. She went on more calmly.
"Divination is one of the most imprecise branches of magic. I shall not conceal from you that I have very little patience with it. True seers are very rare, and Professor Trelawney—"
She stopped again, and then said in a very matter-of-fact tone,
"You look in excellent health to me, Potter, so you will excuse me if I don't let you off homework today. I assure you that if you die, you need not hand it in."
Hermione laughed. Harry felt a bit better. It was harder to feel scared of a lump of tea-leaves, away from the dim red light and befuddling perfume of Professor Trelawney's classroom. Not everyone was convinced, however. Ron still looked worried, and Lavender whispered,
"But what about Neville's cup?"
When the transfiguration class had finished, they joined the crowd, thundering towards the great hall for lunch.